Hello and welcome to the Compliance Week podcast. I'm Joel Mott, staff writer for Compliance Week. In this edition, we chat with Kevin McCollum, Group Vice President for Solution Management at SAP SE, a multinational market leader in enterprise application software. McCollum has particular expertise in governance, risk, and compliance solutions and global trade services. Throughout our conversation, we look at how to develop a risk-aware culture for a threat landscape that is continually evolving and currently includes competition, geopolitical tensions, and sweeping regulatory change. Adding to that mix are the complications that come with the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, changing accounting frameworks, and the brand damage that can be inflicted by cybersecurity breaches. We began by asking McCollum to describe his focus at SAP.
I'm the head of market strategy and the global center of excellence for our finance and risk solution portfolio, which includes our entire governance, risk, compliance, and security. And maybe that's a bit of a curveball, that we have security as part of governance, risk, and compliance, and that's by design, not by accident. And hopefully some of those reasons why will come through in the discussion. 22 years with SAP, and in this role for about 7 years. Prior to that, employed in industry, in the automotive industry, where I actually got my first coffee mug that says right on it, "I'm the compliance person your mama warned you about." And I keep that mug with me every day. So I come by compliance and even more importantly, the importance of embracing risk and compliance in your business, I come by that naturally.
What's the prevailing mood out there regarding risk? Are businesses confident or overwhelmed? And speaking beyond generalities, what specific risks are most concerning to corporations?
Enlightened organizations, I believe, are embracing risk and the reality of risk and building, let's say, risk-aware cultures. So I won't say that they're not sometimes overwhelmed with both geopolitical risk. For those who remember the falling of the wall, that was basically supposed to eliminate geopolitical risk from the world, right? I mean, the Cold War was over, but let's be honest, it's deja vu all over again. And there's a ton of geopolitical risk out there. There are other major risk drivers, and competition being a key risk driver. So companies definitely have plenty to be overwhelmed about. But enlightened organizations embrace it because they know that a risk-aware culture factors risk and compliance being a major source of that risk, security risk. They embrace those things because they know if they embrace, understand their appetite for risk, and plan for risk, they'll be much more successful and perform much better as organizations. There are numerous quantitative studies exactly to that point, that companies, enterprises, organizations that embrace risk, they perform better. They succeed more often and more wildly. So, I mean, let's talk about Apple for a minute. I mean, they're approaching $1 trillion in market cap. Unbelievable. I think they're well above $900 million right now. Was it a risk to come up with something called an iPod and then successively evolve that in the market and take calculated risks and address those and respond and adjust course because you expected risk? Huge study in the importance of embracing, planning for, and adjusting to risk. So others, overwhelmed. Yes, no question about it. Others, overwhelmed. And it's really a pleasure to be working with a number of companies in my role at SAP, and you know, have the privilege of working with the who's who of organizations that, you know, frankly embrace risk, plan for it, manage it, monitor it, and perform better overall. So, long-winded answer to a little bit of both, but there's light at the end of the tunnel for those who are willing to embrace. Some of the things that are on their minds, some of the risks that are concerning them. There are a number of studies out there, so I consider them in the public domain. I'm quoting just a few, and one of our key focal points, in addition to chief risk officers and chief security and chief compliance officers, are CFOs, because more and more we see risk, enterprise risk, and compliance lining up underneath the CFO. So I'm going to quote a couple of CFO studies that talk about what I sometimes hesitate to use this idiom, but what keeps a CFO up at night other than too much travel and bad food, jet lag and bad food. First of all, competition and economic conditions, right? So I would also throw geopolitical risk in there as well, because they're a huge driver of economic conditions. You see what we're going through, potential trade war with China right now. Number two, which you directly asked about, regulatory change. I mean, the pace of regulatory change is just overwhelming, to use your word. GDPR, China's Institute of Cybersecurity Law, updating of regulations, IFRS regulation, right? I mean, we're all dealing with impairment accounting and revenue recognition changes and accounting for insurance assets, a number of things that CFOs deal with and keeps them up at night. Third on the list in two of the studies that we've seen and one that we did ourselves, cybersecurity threats. Why? Because of and this is CFOs who care about this, because it equates to brand damage, a breach. I don't think it needs any further explanation when you see what's happened with credit reporting agencies and retailers and whatnot. It's just a massive issue for CFOs and market cap and companies in general. Disruptors, disruptive innovation. So these are a number of the things. Privacy, which is different than cyber threat. Cyber threat is the, you know, right, is the threat to privacy, both for you and your customers and your organization and their customers. But privacy comes up as one of the top 10 things that keep someone who should be the custodian and the steward for risk in the organization up at night. So the list goes on and on, but those are the top ones. Regulatory risk is right there at number two.
How are companies dealing with the ever-evolving importance of data and the need for fast analysis that can separate fluff from red flags and vital information from false positives? In McCollum's view, a comprehensive compliance program needs real-time fraud monitoring.
Fraudsters use speed, your fragmentation as a company, which implies the fragmentation of your data, as their biggest allies, right? Let's use an example of a procurement process, a purchase-to-pay process. You know, if you look in the average enterprise of any size, they'll have procurement in one department. I'm not just talking about IT systems. I'm talking about they'll have procurement in one department. They'll have logistics and receiving in another department, and they'll have payables in yet another department. And we all know that's the infamous three-way match, where we're supposed to try to ensure that we ordered the right stuff from the right supplier, we got the right amount of sufficient quality, and we paid according to terms what we bought. But now you take that and you spread it across three departments, and whether it's a paper-based system, God help them if it is, or it's three separate IT systems, which in a lot of cases is still the case. Fraudsters know that they can collude, they can defraud in the target-rich environment where there's lots of money flowing, like procurement, simply by manipulating data in one system that isn't connected to another system. So the ability to consolidate that and get a single view in a single system that you bought what you were supposed to, you got it, and you paid for it the way you were supposed to, honoring terms, and you weren't double billed, and all of those things. Putting it another way, fraudsters know that it's much harder to find five pieces of a needle in five separate haystacks and perpetrate a fraud that way than it is simply to find one needle in a haystack. And then, you know, those wider optics, being able to, not saying you have to put everything in one system, but have optics into it, bring that into a single place, big data that manages big data, and also provides a real-time capability so that you can do better real-time identification. And without real-time, there's really no interdiction or prevention possible. I mean, prevention maybe, right? You can say, oh, we got bit. Now we got to put controls in place to make sure we don't get bit again. But the coup de grace is really to be able to interdict right in the business process with controls embedded in the process that are reacting in real time to transactions that may be going on in disparate systems, so in disparate departments. So separating this from the IT discussion, different departments, and keeping everybody in lockstep and having the full picture. That's really what an end-to-end compliance and ultimately risk management system, fraud risk management system, is all about.
How are advanced technologies providing an advanced level of compliance to improve performance and avoid risk? How do emerging technologies like machine learning and artificial intelligence illustrate the advantages to automation? How has the cloud changed matters?
Well, I did you a bit of a disservice. I didn't answer the question about false positives, which is the bane of any type of a continuous monitoring, continuous controls type of a process. So I'll answer that in this particular question. I can only speak about what we're doing at SAP. And I can tell you that what our philosophy, what we deliver, and what we firmly believe in is embedded compliance. So too often compliance programs become second order programs. Those are necessary, second order oversight programs to provide lessons and provide better independent assurance from both internal and external audit. You need those second order systems, but you need those second order systems also to have the capability to be embedded in the business process so they can interdict the process using the same set of controls and the same set of fail safes that you want or that you use to run your business on a regular basis. Have them embedded right into the business process. Speaking about the process scenario above, If you can simply monitor a payment run, you can stop a failed three-way match. You can stop a vendor who's duplicate billing. You can stop a vendor a nefarious vendor. I'm not hammering on vendors, but you can stop a vendor that's negatively impacting your workflow because they're claiming the discount but invoicing you. I'm sorry, I said workflow, I meant working capital, who's invoicing you before the terms say they can. So long story made short, that having that real-time embedded compliance in the processes and not just a second-order function for after-the-fact oversight is key. And that's what new technologies around in-memory database, around consolidate around single source of the truth reporting and processing capabilities brings to the table, and that's what we bring to the table at SAP. Automation improves compliance at every level. A lot of times companies think that, well, automation means that I automatically have to start taking what today is largely a manual system, and we've developed comfort with manual controls, manual processes. They work for our business, that we have to automate everything. But just a simple performance of a manual control governed by a system, governed by IT assists, increases the reliability, increases the follow-up, and basically reduces the cost of that type of thing. And then I mentioned, you know, of compliance and risk management. And I talked about the coup de grace when you move to automated controls and continuous audit for controls. And what we're hearing a lot about these days, and we already deliver, and I'm going to talk about the false positives, is RPA and especially machine learning to help weed through the false positives based on experience, based on real experience by the machine, from previous false positives, to filter out the noise and present real potential issues, real potential, if it were a fraud case, or real potential, just in general, real potential compliance or risk issues, so that you can focus on what really matters to the business. So exception-based processing. And we have numerous studies that talk about customers of ours who've increased their compliance index, above 90% from below 20%, where they feel like they've set indexes for themselves for being compliant with regulation across their company, and they've quadrupled their own internal compliance index, and as well have reduced the cost of both internal and external audits, simply because things like automated and continuously performing automated controls constitute a form of continuous audit, which gives you that continuous view into how the business is running, both for embedded real-time compliance and for the second, and for that second order oversight. Now, the cloud. The cloud's a game changer. It presents a whole new threat landscape from an IT perspective and from a compliance perspective. Just think about GDPR. It's all about where your data is stored. Do you have permission to use it in a certain way? And can you prove that both to the data subject and to the data and to the auditors and enforcement people? So the cloud introduces tons of new challenges in compliance, but it's also a huge opportunity landscape. There's so much innovation going on in the cloud at SAP, at our SAP partners, and dare I say even at our competitors. But there's so much innovation going on. Presenting compliance, presenting controls to customers in a consumer-grade interface, in a on-all-the-time approach with mobile access to data. Actually, I do a number of – so I'm part of our business at SAP, and I use our SAP mobile tools to do a lot of the compliance-related activities that I govern for my team right on my mobile phone at 35 – sometimes at 35,000 feet, because we're a global company. I'm traveling a lot at 35,000 feet in an airplane. That's just an unbeatable combination, and that's one of the huge opportunities that the cloud brings to us.
We asked McCollum why the perception of compliance should move beyond box-ticking tasks and why just complying is no longer an efficient strategy. What makes an effective compliance and risk program, and how is that ideal changing? What is meant by having a competitive advantage through compliance?
A huge source of risk in any company is cyber risk, and that starts with at least SAP. SAP believes that starts in your crown jewel assets of your ERP system. And I'm required for myself and, or for my own team and anybody who tries to access data that we're responsible for, to approve their access. So we've moved that function into the business. A lot of times I'm approving access after a thorough analysis, but while I'm mobile, while I'm on the run, so I don't hold people up who are trying to do their job and need to look at our data and have a real business reason that I can validate to do that. Like I said, if that happens at 35,000 feet in an airplane, it doesn't happen that frequently, but if it does, I can do that if it's an emergency access request. So let's be clear. Compliance, whether people want to acknowledge it or not, compliance and the broader topic of managing risk is good business. It's transparency. It's developing trust with your business partners on both the buy side, the sell side, and the community itself. So it's good business. Monsieur Sarbanes and Oxley might not have thought they were legislating good business, but you and I learned about segregation of duties as good business practice to provide, you know, to do your fiduciary responsibility to your stockholders to ensure that you're not having somebody defrauding the company by having the ability to do too much in any particular process. So it's good business, but it's also good for performance. There are numerous studies that point to companies that embrace compliance and risk as part of their culture perform better. Their businesses operate better.
What advice does McCollum have for providing transparency and building customer trust with the arrival of the European Union's GDPR rules?
We talked about compliance activities and coining a new phrase here, the MOAC, the mother of all compliance, the GDPR Act, General Data Privacy Regulations. SAP, as a European company by charter, is embracing GDPR. It's an example of good business. We're committed to complying, ensuring our own stewardship as a company of the personally identifiable information we possess by complying with GDPR and helping our customers automate their compliance processes. Yeah, ultimately, they're responsible for their compliance. SAP wants to help them attain all a number of the benefits we talked about, the reliability, the regularity of monitoring and managing those processes. So they can, so they themselves can own compliance and own it in a cost-effective and reliable way. So we're embracing GDPR, and we consider it our commitment to our customers to protect their data, us as a company to protect the customer data they've entrusted us with, and we take that very seriously.
That's all the time we have for this edition. We've been chatting with Kevin McCollum, Group Vice President for Solution Management at SAP SE. I'm Joe Mont, Staff Writer for Compliance Week. Thank you for listening, and we hope you join us again next time.